Hello, it's Friday afternoon. What date is it? Friday the 30th of November. My name is Alan O'Donoghue. I'm a teacher of computing and ICT at a school called Our Ladies Catholic High School. It's in Preston in Lancashire. And each week I record a podcast where I explain and describe the sorts of things that my class, my Year 10 GCSE computing class, what they've been learning and what they've been doing in the previous week. The class that I teach has got 26 pupils in it, year 10, so they're 14, 15 years old. And there's 23 boys and 23 girls. That doesn't add up right. There's 23 boys and 3 girls. Oh, it's been a long week. We had Ofsted in this week, it's been 5 years since our last Ofsted inspection. And I think this is the first time in my life I've actually felt genuinely exhausted and drained. It doesn't usually happen to me. So I'm going to describe what the children were learning in our 3 lessons this week. Some weeks we have 2 lessons, and other weeks we have 3 lessons, and this week we had 3. So Monday morning I decided to start the lesson off. This is the lesson in the week where we normally have, we do all this sort of theoretical understanding and learning. And I wanted children to be able to understand about converting binary numbers into deanery and the other way around, and then how to add binary numbers together. And I hadn't up until now discussed with them what's known as overflow error. So I gave them a series of 10 questions to answer in their books. So the first question was, for example, convert binary 0 into deanery. Then the second one was convert binary 111111111. Okay, with all the ones. And the answer for that should have been 255. And it went on. And then we had some where I gave them a nibble to add together. So we had 0001 add 1001. And then the ninth question I gave them was one that was going to cause an overflow error. So it was quite a high value in binary added to another high value. I think it was 192 plus 240. So they had to add that together to see. And then the last question was, explain what you think overflow error means. So I got them to answer the questions in their books, write the questions out and answer them. And then I've sort of got into this practice of getting them to swap books, mark each other's books. We went through, discussed why they got certain ones wrong or right or whatever, and then to hand them back. And then if they got a question marked wrong, they then had to correct the answer. So the overflow error, that was a new concept that I hadn't introduced to them before. And some of them picked it up straight away because they realised that to add 2 binary numbers with such high values, you couldn't express it in 8-bit binary and that you would need another bit on the end, a 9th bit. So that took up a big chunk, probably about the first 20 minutes, half an hour of the lesson. Then we moved on to looking at how you could store images using binary. So this is under the heading of data representation. And just at this stage, we were just looking at monochrome images. And I showed them an example of how we could have an 8x8 grid and how we could code a character, so it could be like a letter or an alien or something like that into that grid, and how we could store it in binary. So we looked through a few examples, and then we talked about the benefits and disadvantages. So I like how it was quite easy to render something because it was just stored as zeros and ones. It didn't take up a huge amount of memory, but the disadvantages were, if you wanted to add colour, then you had to add in more bit depth. And also, there were very low resolution images, so they wouldn't really look. You had to use your imagination quite a lot to figure out what they were. And I'm struggling to remember what happened next, but we got to a point then where I asked them for homework to work out how they would write their name using 8-bit, like an 8-bit character. Very, very tired. So Tuesday, we had a lesson on Tuesday, and in this lesson, I introduced logic gates to them for the first time, how to solve binary logic problems. So the three that we looked at in Tuesday's lesson were the NOT gate, the AND gate, and the OR gate. But rather than just go straight into them, I started the question, the lesson, with the leading question is, why do we use binary? Or why do computers use binary? So some children still hadn't quite grasped it. They were saying things like, somebody said, because computers can only be on or off. And I said, well, that's not strictly true. Okay, yeah, your computer can be on or off, but you know where digital comes from. So the part that we ended up at was that computers are very, very fast at counting. However, in order to keep them fast, what we do is they're kept to two states, on and off. Although it's possible to record lots of things in between, there's an imprecision about that. So that's why we insist on having two states. And because it's two, we can count quickly. And then we moved into looking at a Boolean and how one, we could call it on, but we could also call it true, and the false was zero. So then this was the point where I introduced the NOT gate to them, and I drew them the symbol, and I talked about the little character on the end of the symbol, the circle, which we call a bubble, and how the NOT gate would invert things. It would always make things the opposite of what the input was. And then we moved on to looking, the truth table, and the truth tables for the AND gate and the OR gate. Now, what I did was, rather than just go through them all one by one, we went into Python. And so when we just learned about what a NOT gate was, I got them to build a little piece of script that used the NOT gate. So it would be if something was something not, you know, so there was not in there, so that it was looking for the opposite. And then we did the same with the AND gate. So we had a program that would ask for two variables stored, one as A and the other as B. And then it checked if A was equal to 1 and B was equal to 1, it was going to print the word true, else it was going to print false. So it's not strictly an AND gate in that you could type anything in it and you would get false, but it was only typed when you typed in two ones, you got the true value. And then we did the same with the OR gate. And yes, one of the things that we hit upon was that you had to turn the string. When you use input, you get a string and you have to convert that into an integer, and then you could do logical tests on it. So that was Tuesday's lesson. At the end of Tuesday's lesson, one pupil decided that it was at the end of the day. One pupil hung around at the end of the day and he came to me and said, "Sir, I'm just not really getting, you know, I'm finding it a bit challenging. It's really tough." And I said, and I was like, "Well, sure, yeah. You know, nobody ever said it was going to be easy." And he said, "Yeah, but it seems a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be." And I listened to him for a while and I said, "Right, I'll bear in mind what you're saying." So that was Tuesday. Just before Tuesday's lesson, we were all called down to the staff room and we had an announcement from our deputy head that Ofsted had just rang and to expect that Ofsted were going to be in the next morning. And we all sort of went, So we knew we were imminent. We were due an inspection at some point, but we just weren't sure exactly when it was going to be. So the next morning, I can't remember what time I got up. I know it was very early and it was very late when I went to bed and I slept somewhere in between. So we had to write out all our lesson plans and make sure that everything was all in order and all, you know, ready for the inspection. So Wednesday's lesson, I had to plan it, expecting that an inspector could come in and watch what I was doing. And we're told basically to do the kind of things that we normally do, not to do anything special that we thought the inspectors were going to be impressed by, because sometimes when you try and do those sorts of things under that sort of pressure, things fail, and generally you're better off sticking to the things that you know you're good at. So I decided to take that advice. Now, as it happened, an inspector didn't come in and watch that lesson. They came in and watched another lesson, which was great, because I got some great feedback on that, which I'll talk about another time. So for the Wednesday lesson, I decided it would be a good idea to go back and check the understanding from the previous lesson, all about logic gates, not and or. And So the way we did this was, the class came in, I said, right, we're going to test you on a few things that you might understand or not. So using Python in the interactive mode, so that's in the shell, I typed in not one, and then I said to the class, now, in a moment I'm going to press the return key. What do you think? What do you predict is going to happen when I press the return key? So somebody said I could get a syntax error. Another suggestion was it could say zero. Somebody else said it might say false. And somebody, we had a few different suggestions. So we tested it to see what we got. And I think if not one returns false. So I explained that how, again, from the previous lesson, Booleans, false represents zero and true represents one. So I said, so if we type not zero, and then somebody said, you're going to get false, and somebody else said, we're going to get true. I asked each of those two children to explain why they were saying, why they gave their answer, and then I asked the class to decide which one they thought was going to be the correct answer. And we tested it, and I think the answer for that one was true. So we moved on like this, and then I tried the AND gate and the OR gate. So I typed in 1 and 1, and I was going to press an enter, and somebody said, yeah, the answer is going to be 2. Right, okay. But remember, we're working in binary. We're talking about Booleans. So we're going to expect something in ones and zeros, and this child still, no, it's going to be 2. It's definitely going to be 2. All right, okay. So he wasn't picking up the hint or the clue I was giving him. And then we tried 0 and 1, 1 and 0, 0 and 0, or 1 or 1. And each time what I was trying to do was trying to play devil's advocate. So I'd pick a particular child in the class and say, what do you think it's going to be? So let's just say the girl said 1. And then I'd say, right, who agrees with the girl? So lots of the class would put their hand up. And I'd look for people who hadn't put their hand up. So I'd pick somebody who hadn't. So you didn't put your hand up. What did you think the answer was going to be? I think it's going to be 0. Ah, so why do you think it's going to be 0? And they would then explain their answer. Then I'd ask if people wanted to change their mind, and then we'd test it. So I'd say after doing that 5 or 6 times, we eventually, it seemed to be hitting home. We were getting a consensus on each of the answers, and that was the point where I thought, right, okay, we've got this. Let's move on. So for the next bit, in some of our coding lessons, every sort of 3 or 4 lessons when we've been doing some Python programming, I try to build in a dojo. That's the part where the children, they work together collaboratively, programming together, and then we have a show and tell at the end of the lesson. So they're typically trying to solve a problem, except this time I gave them a solution that was already complete. I like to use the Invent with Python book, which is written by Al Swigert, and I directed them to chapter 6, where there's a game in there called Dragon's Realm. And I asked them to very quickly build it, to test it, check that it actually works. But really what I was looking for was, I was looking for them to take that example and to add extra layers to it, to change the topic of the game, find some way that they could take to improve on that game. Now, built into the game, it's got some logical reasoning going on. So it asks if this and so-and-so has happened, or, and then there's an OR gate and there's a NOT gate. So it was a good way of testing or putting into practice the things that we'd been looking at in the previous lesson. So we had our show and tell at the end. It was, what I found enjoyable was very few people had actually completed what they were attempting to do. So one person had decided they were going to put, this is a text-based game, they decided they were going to put some ASCII art into it. And they got that to work. So there was a large sword would scroll up onto the screen. It took them a long time to get it to work, but it did. Then somebody else took the scenario and just basically reworded the scenario to match something else. Two of the girls were working together, and they created a scenario where when you're in one of the caves, you can then choose to pick up an object, and then whether or not you have that object determines your fate at the next stage. Other people had decided to add in other levels. Somebody else had added in a score. One of the nice things about this Dragon's Realm game, and it's chapter 6, and this book it's free to have a look at online, is it's the first time with the class where we've been looking at how you can define a function in Python and then call that function. Now, I decided to do a little practical demonstration of defining a function. So I did this little experiment with the class. I asked them all to stop what they were doing, and this is the way it went. I said, now, in a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to clap my hands like this, and I'm going to shout left or right. If I clap my hands twice, left, like that, I want you all to put up your left hand. If I do right, I want you to put up your right hand. And I was getting some puzzled looks. What's he on about? Why are we doing this? So I said, right, carry on with what you were doing. And then very shortly, of course, I went left. And you could see straight away, everybody complied. They put their left hand up, said, thank you, carry on. And then within a few seconds, left. And the left hands went up. Right, okay, carry on. And they're thinking, is this because Ofsted are coming in? He's lost it. Well, we don't know. And then right. And of course, they all put their right hands up. So I said, right, now we'll just pause for a moment. Let's figure out, why am I doing this? And I explained that at the beginning, I defined the function. I said, if I clap my hands and then say left, so clap hands is sort of, you're going to do something, you're going to put a hand in the air, and then left is the argument. So when I clap twice, left, that's call the function and put an argument in it. And I said, you're doing exactly the same thing in this game. You're creating a function, and then you're passing arguments to that function. And that seemed to get the point across about how we use functions, call functions, and pass arguments to them. Okay, right, so that was my three lessons. The Ofsted inspector didn't come in, and, well, that was a shame, but they came into another lesson on that day, and got really nice feedback on that, which I'll talk about in another podcast another time. Thank you for listening. I've had lots of feedback on these podcasts. I'm waiting for some sort of slightly more negative critical comments, but at the same time in a constructive way, because I'm not really sure how useful this is. I could carry it on till Christmas or I could stop, but if people are listening to this and they're finding it useful, then, you know, tell me and I'll carry on recording them. Thank you for listening. If you're not a member of Computing at School, you please need to join it. We've now got a network of excellence where there's a variety of, there's about 30 master teachers around the country. I'm one, yay. And they're there to give you advice. They're, at the moment, they'll be doing things like trying to plan training events so they can bring people together and pass on good practice and experiences and advice with things like GCSEs and all of that thing. So go and have a look at the Computing at School community to find out about that. What else is there to mention? Yeah, I keep talking about this Raspberry Jamboree that we're having in Manchester. That's on Saturday the 9th of March. We sold about 100 tickets in a week, which I was pretty pleased with. Things have quietened down a little bit. We've still got a few tickets left. And it's looking at the Raspberry Pi. We're saying a year after the Raspberry Pi has been launched, how is it helping education? And I'm hoping that we can show that it is being used constructively and positively in education. So we've got lots of teachers coming along to present and explain. We've got Genevieve Smith-Noons coming along. We've got Carrie-Anne Philbin. We've got Dawn Hewitson, the teacher trainer from Edge Hill College. We've got people from the Raspberry Pi Foundation. We've got William Bell. He's a physicist working at the Large Hadron Collider at CERN in Geneva in Switzerland, but he's also responsible for the Magpie magazine. He's coming along. We've got all sorts of different people coming along, and it would be great. There's also a big show next door called the Education Innovation Show, and a ticket to the Raspberry Jam lets you in there as well at the very same time. Thank you for listening. Bye.